Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey in Sports Radio 94, WIP.
Of the High Hopes Podcast, a Jack Middleton went out and signed Trey freaking Turner. Edition, Fritzy, Trey Turner is a Philly. Those words, I just say it's not us. It's not a perfect offseason pod. It's not us talking about it. It's Trey Turner is going to be a part of our lives for the next decade plus. Trey Turner is officially our guy, Fritzy.
Best lineup in Philly's history. It's like they are so freaking loaded, man. And
Trey Turner.
It's really hard to put it into perspective that like they made the World Series. They got to Game 6 of the World Series. They're right in it against the best team in baseball. And like they didn't just sit on their hands and say, well, that was great. That was fun. That was, you know, like we're just happy to be here. They said, bleep it. Go bring me Trey Turner. And I just thought it was so funny that, you know, about an hour and a half before that, the cute little Mets. Oh, you signed Justin Verlander. Oh, I'm so scared. I'm so scared of Justin Verlander. And we're like, bang. How's Trey freaking Turner sound? How does that sound, Steve Cohen? And to make it even to make it even funnier, James, the Yankees announcing a 3-year extension or whatever for Brian Cashman. I tell you what, it feels good being the new Yankees new Red Sox. It's a really good place to be at, and like. Again, shout out to John. Shout out to Dombrowski.
Jack.
Yeah.
It's just is what it is. I mean, let's be consistent with the bit, Fritzy. I mean, we got to be real here.
He's back.
He's Jack with a capital freaking J, man. Dude, he's given out $200-300+ million contracts in the last 4 years. Like seriously, $300 million, Jack.
I understand, man, but. It's only $27 million a year. Like, I know the years are shocking. I know the $300 million price tag is shocking. But, like, dude, imagine how much of a steal. First off, price is the biggest bargain in baseball. Well, yeah. I mean,
his $25 million a year for Bryce Harper is absurd. Yeah.
Like, one of the biggest steals in baseball.
Yeah. It's the back end that you worry about. But look, everything's going up. The values go up, you know, $27 million for Trey Turner, you know, 7 years from now is going to look absolutely absurd if, you know, he ages as we hope he can age. And I do think he's going to age better than I think a lot of people do. So we'll get into it all. But I mean, like the first thing that comes to my mind when we talk about it, though, is Jack Middleton, where like, again, he just said, he's like, here you go, Dave, here's the keys. Go out and freaking drive the Ferrari, buddy. Like, go out. We're going to go out and we're just going to get Trey Turner. Like, none of this BS. We're not waiting till February. We're not playing the Machado Harper games. We're not doing, like, we're just going to go give $300 million to Trey Turner. He's going to be a Philly. Like, man, Jack, that happened today, dude.
And they did it for the holidays so that everyone can get their Trey Turner gear. I mean, gotta wear number 7, right? I mean, I think 7's a good number for him. You know, makes up for Mike Alfranco and Pedro Florimon.
That's the go-to number 7 there.
Anyone else? No, of course I'm forgetting. But, dude, it is it's really, really exciting where you're at. And you start, like, mixing around with the lineup, and you just you put all the pieces on there, you're legitimately going to have like super freaking talented players batting 7, 8, 9. Like that is what it is. And we know that Harper's missed the first half of the year or whatever. But when he comes back, like they're just going to be stupid, man. Like they're just going to be a stupid, stupid baseball team. And like, we're legitimately like, first off, we're beyond back, but we're so back to the era of like every night being in the ballpark and it being a party. And like the fact that they signed Turner, who is just a doubles, triples machine, and like just the thought of him just going for third. And eventually, yes, I'm willing to say this on this podcast, James, he's gonna hit for the cycle.
And we don't
have to deal with the David Bell nonsense anymore. It's absolutely over. But just like how exciting the top of the lineup can be, and like how fast they can jump on you. Like, I think they'll probably bat Turner leadoff. But even if not, like, I kind of want to bat Schwarber leadoff just so people continue to be mad about it for another season.
I know you do.
But like, imagine just how fast they can jump on you, James. Like, whether it's Schwarber, whether it's Turner, whether it's Harper batting in the two hole, you know, like all of a sudden you're facing just superstar, superstar, superstar. And then you go like, hey, maybe Rhys Hoskins is going to put 30 homers behind me. JT's the best catcher in baseball. Castellanos like can hopefully bounce back. And the thing that I'm looking through the lineup and trying to compute is like, what if Bohm and Stott just continue to get better? Mm-hmm. Like, they already took a massive step forward.
Why
last
wouldn't
year.
They? They're 24-25 or whatever. I know, I mean, but like, it would be I'm not even if they didn't get better.
I'm like barely even considering it.
You threw Castellanos away in there, but I mean, look, I don't know if he'll ever be, you know, Nick Castellanos, 2021 Nick Castellanos, but he's going to be better than he was this year. There's a 0% chance he's worse. I feel so confident that he will be a better hitter this year. And even if he gets anywhere close back to that guy, I mean, you have a lineup with five dudes who are making over $20 million in it. I mean, it's absurd. I'm speechless talking about it. I mean, you have guys who made the all-star team at five spots in your lineup. You guys who are, and a couple of them are like perennial all-star type players. I mean, Trey Turner, you know, we talk so much, and Turner had a slower start to his career because of injuries and all that type of stuff. But I mean, he is a Hall of Fame caliber baseball player. If he is able to age gracefully, I see the guy, it's funny because Isaac Schwartz in the chat is saying the guy I thought of, like, he's like Barry Larkin. Like, that's the type of player he is. He is Barry Larkin. He is that he's faster, and Larkin was a good runner too, but he's like a Barry Larkin type player. Like, he is a Hall of Fame caliber talent. Like, they have multiple guys in this lineup who are Hall of Fame caliber players. And again, you know, Bryce is going to get there, but you know, Turner's that level of baseball player right now. And it's crazy, dude. I mean, they just added a Hall of Fame caliber player to a team that came within two wins of the World Series, of winning the World Series.
And, James, they added a world champion. I mean, Trey Turner has been a world champion before. He is best friends with Bryce.
We already have the clubhouse chemistry thing. Let's just add to it, buddy. It's beautiful.
I did well up a little bit at Bryce's Instagram, just with like 34-7 back together or whatever, like 3-347 every day. It's like, oh, this is just perfect. You have the Kevin Long connection
which is not nothing. Like, I think that matters.
Well, think about the last two offseasons, James. I mean, it was Schwarber was his guy last year, yep. And this year Trey Turner.
Kevin Long, who knew? The key to everything.
Master recruiter Kevin Long and the Michael Jordan of hitting coaches. Although Michael Jordan wasn't a great teammate, so it seems like a weird comparison by A-Rod, who is a dynamic broadcaster, I will say. But you think about that, and the part that I totally forgot about is like Howie Kendrick supports the organization too. Who they won a World Series together. Like there's so many connections here. His wife is from Jersey. Like, think about South Jersey. You got JT, you got Harp, you got Trey Turner. I mean, just like a dom squad for the next couple years of like youth baseball in the South Jersey area. I mean, seriously, talk about heating up. I mean, these guys are here for a long time. But dude, like, Trey Turner's a Philly, dude. Like, in what world can you compute that Trey Turner has joined? Like, imagine, James, when we started, not even when we started this podcast, imagine after they fired Klentak, that we would be sitting here 3 years later, 3.5 years later, with Dave Dombrowski, who you and I wanted all along.
Two years later.
Whatever. Don't care. Yeah,
the 2020 was a long bleeping year, dude.
Just please don't let facts get in the way of a good story here, James. But imagine at that point you say to yourself, okay, in 2 years, we're going to have Trey Turner, Nick Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber, and they're at game six of the World Series. Like, I would have said you're crazy. Like, we did this podcast and it's called High Hopes and we kept our hopes high, but it was like, I don't know, man. It's so hard to like see the path to a championship.
It was almost
here.
An ironic title. At a certain point, we came up with the title with the best of intentions, and at a certain point, it became irony and a joke and almost a parody of itself.
And here we are.
Like, it's real.
It's real. And they have legitimately created a juggernaut. Like, this is the 2011 Phillies version of that rotation in the lineup. Like they already on paper had a ridiculous lineup heading into last year. It like didn't totally live up to the hype. And then they added Trey Turner to it. And it's also insane that Turner and Stott are going to cost less on an AAV value that Gene and Didi did last year.
That's a
difference maker.
That's insane. And the AAV is fascinating, and it's an interesting look. The Phillies are really the first team to kind of employ this strategy of these long drawn out contracts and going with the AAV, but saying, all right, we're going to take the hit on the back end of these contracts. And again, I do think there's a lot of logic to it in the fact that not only are the salaries going to go up, so that those salaries are going to look like less, but the competitive balance tax is going to go up. It goes up every year, you know, and if baseball keeps, you know, making record, you know, money, which it always will, because these guys can afford to spend. Thank you, John Middleton, for actually knowing that and spending. You know, I think it's a really interesting strategy. It's going to be fascinating to see how this ages. But I think for right now, you know, it's what we talked about, right? I mean, what did we say in the perfect offseason? What did we say right after the season is seize the moment. This is a moment here. And John Middleton absolutely listens to the High Hopes pod and he knows to seize the moment because that's what he's doing. And something you were talking about, and just, you know, when we keep going back and be like, Trey Turner's a Philly. Oh my God, can you believe it? And like we get hit with that and it just hits us. It is crazy to just think about. Because again, I do go back in time to the Bryce Harper's of Philly pod, and I think about just how shocking it was that guy chose us, that guy, that the superstar, the biggest free agent of our lifetime, you know, almost maybe, you know, at the age and all this stuff. And that like the superstar said, I want to play in Philly. I want to go to Philadelphia. Like, that doesn't happen to us in our lifetimes. It's so minuscule the amount of times that this happened to us. And now for it to, because and look, and on top of that, we've got other stars like Schwarber and Castellanos, who, you know, legit guy at the time and all that coming in. But like within a 4 year stretch that we get the, you know, two prize Hall of Fame cat, one of them the all time free agent, but then this offseason getting the top guy on the market again for $300 million, he's choosing to come to Philly. This whole time, it was just like, Trey Turner's coming here. It was like a fait accompli the whole time. It was all like, oh, well, we're just getting Trey Turner. Him and Harper, best friends, wife's from Jersey. He wants to be here. Hearing rumors, he wants to be there. Like, it's just like, what the hell happened, man? When did this happen? When did we become the, like, of course they're going to go to the Phillies because the Phillies get stars team. Like, it's just, it's freaking awesome, but also super surreal, man. It's super surreal.
Well, honestly, when you're talking there during that whole time, I just kept thinking back to Cliff Lee, you know, and I thought back to when Cliff Lee signed here. And James, frankly, I don't think this happens. Obviously, it doesn't happen without the run last year, but you can't tell me that Trey Turner wasn't sitting on his couch watching Bryce hit that homer and just seeing what the ballpark was like and just
I want to do like, that. I want to be the dude who hits it in the sea of red. People definitely thought that.
He has to think that way. And Trey, this is, again, this is exactly what I envisioned, James. I envisioned Trey Turner sat down with his wife, who's from Jersey, and I don't know if she talks like this, but maybe she's like, yeah, what's up, Trey? And she sat there. They're watching the game together. And Bryce hits, goes big fly, or Schwarber goes big fly. And they see the place just start melting down. They see the rally towels. They hear Joe Davis regurgitate the swing of his life, even though he's used it like three times after that.
the catch of his life! The shot of his life!
And they weren't just thinking, damn, that could be us. Like, that could be us. And that can't be lost on this fan base. And that can't be lost on you, I, our listeners, that, like, we also made this happen. Like, you can't convince me otherwise that we didn't make this happen as well. Because if that place wasn't as raucous and special and just talked about on a daily basis amongst, like, baseball fans about, wow, could you imagine playing in Philadelphia? Then I don't think Trey Turner's a Philly. And if we don't show up and show out the way that we did, I don't think John Middleton opens up his checkbook again. You know, like, we're sitting here saying, oh, Jack this, Jack that, and rightfully so. He has done it. But I think that he had to be so caught up in the emotion of what that was, and it had to be so intoxicating for that guy to see that ballpark as electric and filled up and just buzzing as it was. So, yes, I think Bryce Harper helps, obviously. Kevin Long helps. Howie Kendrick helps. $300 million to spend certainly helps. But this fan base, it's everything. And you can't tell me it doesn't matter.
I almost want to shut down the pod. I feel like I have nothing else to say. That was, like, perfect, dude. Like, perfect. I was going to, when you first started saying it, I was going to make a joke. It only took us 15 minutes to, you know, give ourselves credit for Trey Turner coming here. But you're right, man. Everything you said is like, dead freaking on. And I think for the players absolutely watching it, look, we all know, we're all, you know, adults. We know the way this works. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you need a certain amount of money. Money, if one team's giving you a lot more than the other team, you're going to go to the team that gives you a lot more money and all that. But I think the key points, the players wanting to come here because of that. But I think the point you made about John Middleton seeing that and being a part of that. And he was, we saw him. We saw him during the games. He came up and said hi, like, by the WIP booth and all that stuff. And, you know, he was a part of that. We talked about it. Where was what game? It was game three. He's like, we got to win this now. Or after game three, he's like, got to win it. He's like, yeah. We were like, John, like, what a year, man. Like, thank you for everything. And he's like, yeah, I got to win. We're like, well, all right, man. You're pretty intense right now. I appreciate it, dude. But, like, not what I was expecting. I'm with you, man. Like, I think it's such a great point, Jack. I think he was down there. He saw it. He felt it. And he's like, I got to win, man. Like, I can't. This was fun, but I need to win this. And I think he felt that. I think it's such a great point by you, Jack. I think the fans in multiple ways really did factor into Trey Turner being a Philly. And whatever else happens, it's offseason. The good things that happen. Like, I really do think it played a role. I think you're right.
Well, especially because, you know, if you're Trey Turner, you're in Washington, you obviously got to the pinnacle there. And I actually, like, for as much as I crap on the Nationals, like, I thought their fans were pretty good during that run. You know,
they were really good. I agree with you. Yeah.
For a fan base that just figured out what baseball was in, what, 05?
Yeah, you know, like, literally, actually. Yeah. That's
good. Pretty good. But, you know, and if you're looking to pick your next spot, not really feeling, like, the Red Sox are weird. New York's kind of New York. The Mets have Lindor.
Well, yeah, and not just that. No matter what New York team you are, you're never the most important thing in New York. You're just never the most important thing in New York. Whereas, like, that run there, like, the Philadelphia Phillies were literally, legitimately the most important thing in this city. Period. End of story. Like, that's it. Nothing else mattered. Again, we talk all the time, but it's because for Jack and I, who for a living go in and, you know, spend the vast majority of our life talking about the Eagles. Like, that's our job. It's just what it is. For a month straight, for literally no one to care about an undefeated Eagles team is like, I don't think Jack and I could ever put into words how truly astounding and stunning that is to us. But that's what it was, man. Like, the Phillies were all that mattered here. Like, if you go to New York, no matter what, you're never going to be all that matters. It'll never be like that. It just won't.
And, like, sure, he could have gone to the Cubs, you know, and the Cubs have a great fan base, but like how far away is that team from competing? He could have been a Padre, but he was already a Padre and they traded him away.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be on the East Coast. Like, I don't know. Again, if you have any semblance of competitiveness inside your bones, you want to go there. You want to go there and you want to be a part of that party. Like, we rip on this Nick Castellanos all you want. The most chilling quote I ever got during the entire run was him saying, "You're in the jungle." And I was like, dude, that's my guy. That is my guy. You keep sliding and catching baseballs. Don't worry about hitting. Hitting's overrated. We signed you for your defense. But you saying that Citizens Bank Park was a freaking jungle? That's my guy. South Philly Nick, as I call him.
I don't know, man. South Philly Nick is a title that's hotly contested right now. We got a few South Philly Knicks.
I know. But like, that's what I'm talking about, man. And how insane that place was. And you can't convince me that Trey Turner sitting on his couch as he was wasting the last couple of years playing in LA where no one cares, where it's just like, oh, sick. You won 114
games. It's a regular
games.
Season baseball team. No one cares.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh, sick. You won 114 games. You have Dave Roberts, who's a terrible manager, and like all this. And like the crowd showing up in like this third inning or whatever. Mm-hmm. Here, I mean, dude. One part of the run that I'd never experienced was the place pretty much being full, like at least a half hour before the game.
Oh yeah, dude, it was nuts.
Like no one was missing anything.
No.
We made this happen. We made this happen. There's a lot of things that had to happen. You know, one of the things that I think that we talked about in the past, but like talk about. Having a guy that how nice it is to have a guy that the owner trusts with his money and just like
you think so, like, I mean, geez Louise, honestly, that like Dombrowski's been, you know, obviously we love the move the moment it happened, but
yeah, 100%.
You know, he's been even better than we expected in a lot of ways, but I think the way that I didn't think about initially is just the owner being able to just completely and totally have the owner trust you and let you spend his money and let you run the team the right way. And like, I should have thought about that. Like I should have thought about him just having the cachet and the resume and the pedigree to be someone who can control the organization like that in a way, you know, and I should have given him that, you know, I didn't think about that.
And thinking back on that time, it's like, listen, we were pretty anti Dombrowski. It couldn't just be like, oh, just kidding. He's great. You know, like that'd be such a hard pivot. But listen, we got there. I think we adjusted pretty quickly.
Very quickly. And again, like we've talked about many times, you know, and that's the funny thing too, is we're so excited about the team right now, the on the field. And, you know, funny enough, going back to the beginning of the pod, you know, kind of how like High Hopes itself, the name of the pod became kind of a bit in and of itself, you know, we've often on this pod really gotten excited about the future of the Phillies a lot more than the now the Phillies, you know, that's kind of, and I think when Dombrowski got here, why we got really excited about him right away was because we saw that he was good for the future of the Phillies. You know, we thought it was like, wow, Preston Mattingly, Ani, the way he's building the organization behind the scenes, keeping the right people, you know, the keeping Barber, keeping the driveline stuff, you know, and it felt like he was making really, really smart decisions on the organization itself. And that's when we're like, of course, like, you know, if nothing else, this guy's going to come in and know what a winning baseball organization should look like and how it should function and how it should act, which, yeah, you know, it seems so simple, but we clearly didn't have that. We didn't have that. So I thought that alone was such a big thing, but now it's so funny because, you know, not only is he great at that, it's like, of course, yeah, he's also a Hall of Fame general manager because he's good at this stuff too, at building a team and taking a team that's really freaking close and putting them over the top. And it feels like they're right there, man. And they're just saying, we know we're right there and we're freaking going for it. And that, and like freaking respect for that.
Well, and respect, because it doesn't always happen that way, James. Like, it doesn't always happen where teams are close and they want to go win. Like there's never been an era in sports where it's more trendy to tank and get draft picks than right now. And
just kind of consistently serve both masters, right? Like the Guardians, I got it right. I was about to say the other name and I got it right. Mm-hmm. The Rays, these teams that we love and appreciate because we are baseball fans and we love the sport and we are so impressed with a team with like, you know, $50 million like the Rays or $70 million or whatever it is. I mean, we're talking about a Phillies team that's going to spend like $230 this year or whatever it is. Like these teams can get the same or more amount of wins than the Phillies and in recent years, many more by spending, you know, a quarter of the money that they spend or whatever. And I just think that's awesome and so impressive and stuff. But the flip side is that with these teams is that they don't ever go all in. They don't ever say, hey, all right, you know, we're really freaking good. We came with a Blake Snell decision of winning the world or whatever it is. We came within a Michael Martinez at bat of winning the World Series. Like these teams have gotten there and been right there, but those teams are always trying to serve both masters. Hey, we're not going to spend that much money. We're going to be smart. We're going to consistently recycle, consistently trade guys for prospects and still be. And like the Phillies are not doing that. The Phillies are saying, hey, we got a moment here and we're freaking go, especially with money, because look, they still haven't traded their top prospects and stuff. Like, it's not like we've got, like, they're still kind of able to play both sides with that. But on the whole, like, we said to do it. They had a moment and they're seizing it, and that's and they deserve a ton of credit for it.
Well, or they could be, for example, the Yankees. Like, it feels like the Yankees have had this team for the last couple of years, and they won't just push their chips in. And ever since Steinbrenner's left, you know, it's just been they've like been content with being where they are. And it feels like Middleton and Cohen kind of have this little rivalry going on, where it's like, oh, you signed Verlander? Oh, guess what? Here's Trey Turner. Last year, or a couple years ago, it was like McCann and whatever. It's like, okay, we'll re-sign JT. You know, like there's just been, it's a little rivalry between these two owners that have talked big games. I mean, Cohen and Middleton have talked big games, and I'll never forget, you know, the maybe like 15 or 2015, 2016, when Gerald's like, yeah, this guy who you don't know about, but he's going to become a big factor here, like wants to be the Steinbrenner of the South. And it's like, he's here. I mean, he's here. Knock, knock. Here comes John. Jack, sorry. He's here. He's freaking here. He just signed Trey Turner. Like,
$300 million. He dished out another $300 million. No deferrals. None of that BS. Like, here is three. I'm committing. 300 to one man. Hey, that other man, here's $330 million. Here, this other dude, here's $123 million. Hey, other dude, here's $100 million. Like, it's nuts, man. It's crazy. He is just dishing out nine-figure checks on the regular, Jack.
Hey, Aaron, here's going to be a $100 million extension.
Yeah, for real.
But
with the way these pitching market probably might be the $100 million for 3 years.
Seriously. But you know, we're talking about how close they are, and
it keeps like Trey Turner. Like, we're gonna watch Trey Turner play baseball every night. Like, anyway, sorry, I'm so excited.
Well, Eddie plays 162 games a year, which is like even more exciting.
And the Phillies don't have a player like him, which is, he's going to be someone we haven't watched. We've not watched anyone like Trey Turner play baseball the last few years, and that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, the closest is like 07 J-Roll. I mean,
yeah, I'm talking about this group. Like, I'm talking like within the last decade, we have not had a player like this. Like, we have not had someone who can be this type of, you know, spark plug offensive player, someone who's going to put the bat on the ball, like a legit true 300 hitter. Like, I mean, this dude's just going to be so much fun to watch.
Yep. 162 and 18, 122 and 19, and then 148 and 160. That's how many games played the last couple of years. Also, like, if you ever just want to, like, you know, kind of pinch yourself and start thinking about how fun this is going to be, like, if you just look at his last like four total seasons, his like his average stats or whatever of 311, like
311. That's what I'm saying. Like 311, dude. Like, dude hits, man.
Yeah. So I mean, 311, 500 slug, 870-ish OPS.
Oh my goodness. 98 shortstop.
Under 100 strikeouts, which like I think it's so beautiful. Important for 1-2 this year. Like, I could, like, the you can't have It was hard to win last year with those guys batting
one. Yeah, they set the record in the freaking World Series as a team for sure. But I think it's good that you're bringing this up because I think it's a really interesting point. And I saw Joe Sheehan talking about this. I think there's been a lot of like blanching at the end. Look, 11 years is going to be 40. You know, I don't think that anyone's expecting Trey Turner to be a great baseball player at 40. Like you're factoring in some of this, you know, at the back end, there will be some issues and whatnot, but and look, who knows, maybe they retire. I don't bet Trey Turner plays till 40. He might retire before then and lose some of them. Like there's all kinds of ways that this can play out, but ultimately the whole, like, I wouldn't bet on a speed player to age well is a faulty logic thing. Like, yes, if the only asset you have is speed, or if it's your by far best asset, yeah, maybe don't bet on that player. Trey Turner's an awesome hitter. Like, he's an awesome baseball player. He just also happens to be super fast, too. Like, the Joe Sheehan was talking about, like, speed guys don't age well. Speed plus guys age really well. And I think that's something that kind of gets lost in the discussion a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, and I know that there were some people that were worried about like the shift and whatnot. Like he had a lot of shift hits or like infield hits and stuff like that. But also like, he's just going to adjust, you know, like
he's a hitter. He's like a real hitter.
Why can't we just be like, hey, you know, baseball players can change, you know, like it's not like he's going to go from, well, like he'll probably go like 300. I think he bats somewhere between 290 and 300 this year. Like I think it'd be asking a lot to be like, okay, here's a 320 season from Trey Turner or whatever. Like I'm putting the expectation at 290 to 300. And by the way, we'll take that in a heartbeat. And the other thing I was thinking about, James, was bigger bases next year. Like,
yeah,
that's another
more steals,
aspect.
More getting to first, more. I mean, look, it will matter. It's a game of inches. I mean, how many times do you see those replays at the runner at first? It's like his foot is, you know, at this far for those, like a half inch away from hitting the bag. And it's like the ball's there. Like, that's going to change. I know it sounds silly, but we're talking about, you know, even if it's what, 5-10 more hits a year or what? I mean, like, it could be something that over the long run does make a difference, especially with the steals, too. I think that will matter.
Well, he should have. Like he had 27 last year, 33 the year before that, 32 the year before that. Like, you know, I think 35 is.
And look, Topper's showing that he'll run, you know, as a team. They're willing to run too. So
I tell you what, it's going to be nice having another adult base runner. I know.
And look, he's also really, really fast too. Like, even if if his like speed, yeah, he might like, you know, not be as fast at 35 as he is now. But the 35-year-old Trey Turner is still faster than like 95% of players in the league. You know what I mean? That's the point. It's like he's like really, really fast.
Speaking of just how fast Trey Turner is, I know it's not like the best comparison, but my buddy Kevin.
Probably really bad. Yeah, I was wondering where you're going to go with it. Saying someone that no one knew was not at all something I was expecting.
Because, I know, you know, but my buddy Kevin played baseball at Villanova, and his freshman year they went down to play NC State or whatever, and like it was his first game as a collegiate baseball player after, you know, playing with me in Westchester, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so Trey Turner's batting and hits like a routine grounder that he's like done 1,000 times and did what he usually did, and by the time like he was ready to throw to first base, Trey Turner's and he was like, well, this is a little bit different. This is a little bit different.
That's awesome.
So yeah, just stupid speed. And just thinking about, we brought it up a little bit earlier, but as we start working our way through this, just how like it's gonna be. What made, I think, 07 to 11 fun and even more fun than anything, but one of the underrated aspects was you had Rollins and Victorino or Rollins and Worth, and they could just jump on you. Like, they could just go. And whether it's Schwarber hitting a home run to lead it off or, like, Turner, like, the fact that they're adding a 99th percentile, like, speed guy to the top full lineup. He's so fast, dude.
I can't wait for, like, because I know a lot of Phillies fans, and I think most fans of most baseball teams just watch their team play. You know, there aren't, you know, we're the weirdos. And look, I think, you know, speaking to this specific podcast audience, probably a little more, you know, baseball, like I'm sure High Hopes listeners watch a lot more baseball than normal baseball fans do. But, you know, not everyone's seen Trey Turner. Like, just wait. Like, this dude is like freaking lightning around the bases. It
makes it look
awesome.
Fast. Like he almost glides. Like,
yeah.
And I need him to do that slide here more often. Like, I need that to be a signature. The one that he pulled off against Bryce. Like, we need more of that, buddy. Like, yeah. You're a Philly now. You're not going anywhere. 11 years.
Trey Turner, buddy.
That's gotta be a signature. Right. Like, I need them winning a World Series game with Trey Turner sliding like that into home plate. Like, the nice part about Trey Turner is that he's pretty much I would say he's just as fast as Roman Quinn, except he won't, you know, get hurt the second he tries to run as fast as possible. Yeah.
No, he's so. Like Roman Quinn-esque. He's right there. Like, I don't know if he's as fast or if he is, he might be, but he's right there. Like, he is Roman Quinn. Like, that's the thing. It's Roman Quinn level fast on a Hall of Fame baseball talent.
Like a guy that can hit
a 300 hitter. It's a 330 guy playing short, 325 guy who plays great defensive shortstop, and oh yeah, by the way, he's like Kenny Lofton. Like, what is, like, it's crazy, dude.
And there's I want to prepare everyone. Like, I know that baseball is traditionally like, like, we'll get in the door at like 7:15, 7:20 or whatever. I mean, by that point, the Phillies could already be up 3-0. Like, they're just gonna jump on teams. And I forget what the stat is. I think, like, if you score, like, if you go up like 1-0 in the first, you like win like 70% of the time. Like, they're gonna go up 1-0 a ton just by how fast that these guys can kind of jump on you. So,
If Cassie can, like, again, it is not crazy to think that he could be good next year. Like, I'm not saying I think it's a little crazy to think 309, 34 homer good. But, like, to think he could be, like, 280, 20-something guy, like, that's, like, really, really on the table. That is so possible. Like, so believable. I would expect something like that. Like, man, Schwarber just led the freaking league in homers. And to your point, Bowman Stott, like, people have down years. Stott in his sophomore year, we know the sophomore slump. And, like, there are ways you can see, but, like, the idea that Bowman Stott aren't going to get better is silly to me, you know? So, and Marsh will get better. I mean, look at how much better he got just from being in Los Angeles to here. Just in that time, he got better. I'm getting really excited.
I know. Well,
I want the season to start. I'm ready to go. Like, I want Trey Turner leading off the season. Like, let's go.
And it's like, I'm obviously glad they signed him, but, like, I mean, couldn't wait till February, you know, like, we could have spent all offseason talking about Trey Turner. Now it's like, we got him. It's like, well, now what are we talking about?
We'll figure it out. We should talk about Carlos Rodon's wife continually liking tweets about the Phillies. How about that? I'm good to talk about that. I mean, again, I will say the reason you do 11 years, $300 million is to sign more dudes now. Like, that's why you do it. It's AAV. That's it. There's no other reason. It's to add more dudes to the team now. And if you think about it, like, when we did our perfect golf season, we're going through, I was thinking of like 35, 37 million a year for Turner. I mean, you took 10 mil off, 10 mil off 37. It's 27 a year. Like, all of a sudden you give Rodon 30 million a year. I mean, it's like, oh, you're still like money to maneuver with under the tax, and you still could go over the tax. It's nothing. It's pennies on the dollar. Like, I just, woo, buddy. Woo.
Well, apparently.
Woo, buddy. Woo.
Apparently, Dombrowski.
Yeah, let's go.
So, my official statement.
Yes.
I know you can see my eyes right now, and you know how much pain that it does cause me to think about giving it all up. Mm-hmm. But sign Carlos Rodon.
Yeah.
Like. I know it would kill my soul around the draft time when they have they're down four of their top six round picks or whatever. Now before I go any further, Dombrowski, I saw Alex Coffey tweet this out, was like, we're probably not going to sign another qualifying offer guy, but he's like, never say never, know? So, but here's the reason why. I'm good with it. And obviously I'm good with it because it would make the Phillies like a freaking juggernaut and like the minimum 110 wins, right? like minimum, sorry. It'd have to be there. I keep forgetting that Bryce is missing the first half of the year. Like I can worry about that in April.
It's fine. It's fine.
Right now.
That's future us's problem. Yeah, no, us now don't have to worry about that.
I'll worry about Bryce's missing the first half of the year around, you know, May of next year. But in the moment right now, he's in my opening day lineup. And I guess my main feeling is that, like, just do it now. And you probably won't do it next year. Like, if we have to go sign another qualifying offer guy next year, I think something went pretty wrong. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't see Wheeler, Rodon, Ranger, Nola, Painter, whatever. Like, that's probably the rotation next year.
And all the position guys are signed, other than Reese. Like, literally, the entire rest of the diamond is signed. Like, it's done. It's good.
Yeah. So,
literally, it's like, I mean, they're all signed. It's done. Past the season.
You lose the four picks this year, which has to happen if they're going to sign Carlos Rodon. But like, it's 1 year. Like, it's 1 year where it all, like, you just have less draft pick capital. But at the same time, and this is why the MLB draft's so weird and it doesn't make any sense. Like, players are also going to fall.
There are going to be guys picked in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th rounds who become freaking superstars. Like, it's just every year.
And who should have been, like, 3rd or 4th round picks.
Yeah,
like, it's just,
for sure. That, it's too, because of money stuff and all the weird stuff.
And all you have to do is talk to their agents and say, like, no, turn this down. We'll pick you in the 9th and we'll give you this bonus and you'll be our guy.
You're so right, Jack. It's such a great point. It's such a great point.
So, like, just do it now and get it out of the way. Like, it's funny. I opened today and I started today by watching a ton of Jameson Taillon because I kind of got the sense that they're possibly going to sign.
Well, you're 1-for-2 in your calls, by the way. You said Taillon and Turner. That's my prediction. So, you know, 1-for-2. Now, I will say, if they do go Rodon, you know, your boy is perfect offseason. I'm just saying, a ridiculous perfect offseason that shouldn't be hit. It's on the table. I'm just saying.
You preface your perfect offseason by saying, like, this isn't going to happen.
But then I said, John, make it happen because it should. But
I started my day and I was like, man, I kind of get this sense about Jameson Taillon. Like, I wanted to have an educated opinion before, like, we did a podcast or I tweeted about it or anything. So I was like, let me deep dive into that. And tell you what, I'm very excited to get the Trey Turner highlights after this and not Jameson Taillon highlights. But it's like, okay, so let's say you sign Jameson Taillon for 4 years, $60 million, which again, it's just like, he's fine. Like, I think he's a good four. He's a good four, but you're basically paying for durability and the ability to take down 30 starts and pitch competently.
And in that case, if we're talking about spending money this offseason where these pitcher prices are crazy, like, may as well just go for the best guy, right? If you're going to spend a bunch of money on a pitcher, why not spend a significant amount more and just get the freaking best guy, you know? Well, because I do think with this market too, like, the guys in the middle, like, guys are going to get more than they should because there aren't that many top tier guys. And the guys like the you know, Taiwan Walkers and those middle Taillons, those guys who normally in other years are not worth quite what they're going to get, are going to get more this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, dude, we love Zach Eflin.
Yes.
Zach Eflin got 3 years, $40 million.
Mm-hmm. Like, he got, like, the biggest contract the Tampa Bay Rays have ever handed out to a free agent. I mean, think about it. Like, I mean, come on, dude. Like, really? Like, really?
I know. So, like, the
Phillies were like, no, we don't need you, Zach. We're going to go give Trey Turner $300 million. The Rays were like, Zach, you're our top guy ever. Yep. You're our Bryce Harper signing. Thank you for coming. Like, yep. I mean, think about that.
The Zach Eflin emergency podcast, and I'm sure some Rays. Yeah,
I'm happy we're not a Rays pod tonight. Yeah.
We never said we're going to be Rays guys. We were always like, Dombrowski's our guy.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Is this some bit that I don't know about or something? Yeah.
But it's just, like, if you go get Carlos, like, just to avoid the qualifying offer and to still spend between, like, $15 and $20 million a year on Jameson Taillon, like, just go get Rodon. Just go get Rodon.
And welcome aboard, buddy.
And lock it down. And lock it down. And knock this out and say, hey, rest of baseball. We're going into this year. And by the way, if you do this, then you don't have to trade McAble, Griff McGarry.
Yeah, well, that's the point. You have that next infusion of super cheap talent coming in to supplement, and that's how you do it. You balance. That's the beauty of, like, you know, yes, you can't run a franchise where all you ever do is free agent signings. That will never work.
Well,
but if you can,
we're getting close, buddy.
If you can supplement by drafting and developing guys well, then it's a lot easier to spend a lot of money and still, you know, have those reinforcements and have those other spots at cheaper prices and make it all work.
Oh, and if we're going really galaxy brain here, Wheeler has 2 years left. Nola has 2 years left. You gotta replace them somehow. Painter, Abel, Griff, and then he spent all the money in the lineup.
Because all three of them are locks to be great too. So there's no way any. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Yeah. Please not tonight, James. Please.
Well, it's all right. We know Painter is gonna be great. So whatever else happens is a bonus.
But I just want you to dream with me, buddy. Like. Just
doing
think
of Trey Turner's a Philly pod. It's already a dream, buddy.
It is already a dream. But Trey Turner in the Phillies lineup, and then also having a rotation of Wheeler, Rodon, Nola, Ranger, Painter. Like it's the first off, it's the greatest team that this city's ever assembled. I mean, it's from a
pure talent perspective, it is. Yes,
it's not even close. Like,
you have to win. Like, you do ultimately, like, bottom line, like, the best teams are the one that win it all. But I agree with you, from a pure talent perspective, it would be the best team in the history of the Phillies, without a doubt.
Not even close.
I think, like, you know, 11, you know, is one of the ones you would think of, right? Like, that'd be the first one. You know, one of them. I think it'd be the best team in the history of the Phillies.
That team, 2011 is scrubs compared to the 2022 Phillies if they add Carlos Rodon.
Yeah. I mean, this is about, like, Harper, a healthy Harper in this lineup, like, I think right now, and I always crush you for this. Like, whenever you do this, it's better than the 2018 team. I always get so annoyed with you. I think with a healthy Bryce Harper, this is the best Phillies lineup of all time. I'll say it. I don't care. I think right now, today, when Harper is healthy with Turner here, it's the most talented Philadelphia Phillies lineup I've ever seen.
And I'll say something equally as bold. I'm not that excited for the 2026 Phillies anymore. Like, I
it's such a good point. Yeah. 2023 Phillies, way more excited for them than the 2026 Phillies. Yeah.
There was a part where the 2026 Phillies was very excited for.
Well, when you did that thing, it made a lot of sense. Like, I was with you in the moment. I was like, yeah, this is a great call. You know, it's
gotta be honest. Gotta be honest. Having Trey Turner is a lot more fun to add to the teenage shots to game six of the World Series. By the way, I mean, if they get him and they get Rodon, whatever. But, you know, then you figure out the bullpen later, like, trade some pieces and get some studs in here. But regardless, like I'm just saying, Jack, I know that James.
You don't like when there are other Jacks. You got to, in this case, you got to just be okay with it.
True. Well, it's weird saying my own name.
He earned it.
Do you ever have a problem saying your own name?
Yes. And what I get even worse is, like, when we have a caller to the station named James, and there aren't many, or like when James Harden's getting talked about, and Joe will be something like, James, something else. And he'll be talking about either a caller or James Harden. It messes me up every time. So I feel your pain. I get it.
So that's my problem. Even though my real name's John, so.
Oh, wow. I can't believe you even admitted to that. Normally you just brush it aside like it's not a real thing.
Yeah, it's awful. I'm just telling you, there's nothing worse than walking into class and the first day of school and teacher's like, oh, John Fritz, are you here? And, like, raise my hand. And then people start laughing, like, oh, I thought your name was Jack. It's like, yeah, teacher, my name is Jack, okay? I've been called by Jack my entire life, okay?
Oh, buddy.
I know. And now my emails, I don't want to get my email out, but it's John instead of Jack. it's all a disaster, and all the bad memories are flooding into my brain.
Oh, buddy.
But Jack Middleton, just dream with us. Like, like I want, like here for obviously everyone out there listening, like you can close your eyes and you can envision this as well. But the real person that I need to close their eyes and envision this is John Middleton. Mm-hmm. And John, Jack, like, let me just lay this out for you, buddy. How does this sound? JT Realmuto, Reese Hoskins, Bryson Stott, Trey Turner, Alec Bohm, Kyle Schwarber, Brandon Marsh, Nick Castellanos / Bryce Harper, Zach Wheeler, Carlos Rodon, Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez, Andrew Painter. You can have that for a mere $32 million a year. Like, I mean,
we're already there. Just $32 million more. That's it.
Listen, hey, Jack. You know, $78 million is how much the city made you this offseason or this World Series run. It's time to reinvest that money and bring us Carlos Rodon. So, dream with us. I understand Jameson Taillon like has some interesting qualities about him, but everyone who I talk to is like, I love him, but he's a good four. Give me an ace, buddy. Give me an ace. And also, if you want to trade for a guy, I'm cool with that as well. But like,
yeah, it's fine. Yeah, just pay for him. He's right there. He's waiting for you. His wife can't stop liking Philly's tweets. All right. Like, she liked the Turner one today. Again, we talked about in the playoffs. She's liking, like, the, you know, Citizens Bank Park tweets and the Harper tweets. Today, apparently, she liked John Heyman's Trey Turner signing with the Phillies tweet. Like, she's
one of us.
She is so desperate for you to sign with the Phillies, for Rodon to sign with the Phillies. Middleton, like, they are on a silver platter. Just make it happen. I mean, when Jack is just fully on board to give up all the draft picks, like, you know, we've reached a critical stage where you just have to make this happen. I mean, this is as rare as it gets right here. Jack just saying, bleep the draft picks, go get him, is like really, really, really rare territory.
One year. This is it.
It's a one moment reprieve.
You cost me a second round pick with Castellanos, and that's on you.
Yeah. Where would you be without those catches, though, right? I mean, without that defense, because no one else in right field would have made those catches. I'm just saying.
Fair counter.
Yes. Trey Turner is a Philly. It's crazy. It's so cool, man.
You ready for my other idea?
Yes.
It's actually in my take bag, but
let's get to the. We're 51 minutes, and it feels like we're firmly in take bag territory. What do you got?
How's this for an idea? Trey Turner in center field. You re-signed Gene, and you have Stott, Gene, Trey Turner in center field, Marshy in right, and Castellanos at DH until Bryce is ready.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to give you a big no on that one.
Creative. I'm just saying, if things
You're
get that
hard
here,
to keep Gene here, and I appreciate that. I love Gene. We'll miss you, Gene. Goodbye.
Things are getting desperate here. Oh, by the way, like, speaking of trades, like, every Marlins young starter is available besides Alcantara. Like, if you're not going to give me Carlos Rodon, bring me Jesus Luzardo or Edward Cabrera.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. Like, dude, I love Edward Cabrera. So nasty.
Yeah,
he's really good.
And
Luzardo, I mean, is a former top prospect in the sport.
Well, and his second half of the season was like Cy Young numbers. Like,
was he really? I stopped paying attention.
By the way, if you're a little early,
I like that you're not even talking about Pablo. You're just going straight to Cabrera and Luzardo. I love it. Pablo's close to getting paid and all that stuff.
I like Pablo.
He's hit or miss, Pablo. I don't think he's certainly not as dominant. His high end is not as good as those two. That's for sure. Like, his highest.
I'm a sucker for stuff, you know.
Yeah. But it's a bold strategy. Sucker for stuff.
But a really early fantasy baseball tip is draft Jesus Luzardo. Like, I think he started to figure it out. But the nice part about I think they should make a trade this offseason. Even if they don't sign Rodon, I think they should. But, like, they have Rojas, which they have center field pretty much locked down with Marsh, and then they drafted Justin Crawford, so Rojas becomes available. And then there's a younger player, Hao-Yu Lee, who I think has like really good bat to ball skills, but he's like a second baseman. And I just don't know where he plays, you know? Like, I just don't know where, like, I don't know. I know he's like 20 or whatever. But like, Stott's not really going anywhere. And obviously, Trey Turner's not going anywhere. So it's like,
hey,
kind of the right time to make that trade if we want to get crazy with it. And yeah, that's about it. Honestly, I just wanted to throw out the center.
Love it. I'm all
and
in.
See how you handle it. Also, Carlos Estevez signing with the Angels was just
I saw you tweet about that he was your top guy. That was tough.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I also love when we do a whole podcast called Our Perfect Offseason Podcast, and we talk about everything we want the team to do. And then, like, a week later, I see you tweet Carlos Estevez as your top option, and he was not mentioned once in our perfect offseason. So I was like, all right, well, I guess Jack's just saving his best stuff for Twitter. Cool.
Well, I think I actually blame the free agent tracker because I guess his salary was so low.
I like that. I love how you also leap from like you want him to he is your top priority.
Well,
from a really pitching perspective. It's great.
Well, tell me that he wouldn't become your top pitching prospect or top pitching whatever if you didn't realize that he had like 4 extra inches of vertical movement on his fastball outside of Colorado.
You're right. I would have been all in. Actually, I do like that stat. I'm serious. I actually really do like that.
Thanks, buddy.
It's actually a really good point. I would be in on that.
Yeah. So, the good part is he signed with the Angels. So, like, his career's over.
It's irrelevant. Yes. I mean, you could probably trade for him at the deadline.
If he went to the Dodgers, it'd be a little bit different. But yeah. So, really exciting. Really exciting. And now I just like Trey Turner's, like, obviously the entree. But now I need to see how the rest of this thing comes together. I need to see if we get a Dombrowski trade. I need to see like if we sign Rodon, if we sign Teon, it's just, you know, give me more. I need more is my last statement.
Love it. All right. We will be back if they sign Rodon, like obviously, immediately.
What about Teon?
Yeah, well, it's always about I'm getting there. So if they trade for Shane Bieber, if something happens, like we're there. If they sign Teon, we're probably going to wait till next week to bring them.
Come on, man.
We'll talk about it. I mean, you just told everyone what you thought about it, but look, you spent a lot of time watching highlights. So like, we're not going to waste that. We will definitely break down Teon. We'll let you give your soliloquy about your hours of highlight watching that we need to break down and why spend you know, 56 minutes talking about why he's going to be a solid number 4 starter for Phillies. That'll be awesome. That'll be a riveting pod. I think the Trey Turner one might do better numbers. I don't know.
Well, I mean, please respect the fact that I did watch a full Teon start.
That's what I said. Yeah. I knew that. That's why I said, don't worry. We'll see.
Well,
what
and we'll you know how, you know how, and you know how dumb my brain is, right? Where of course, like I just watched the dominant 7-inning shutout start. Like it wasn't even one of the starts he got shelled. And I texted like my 2 Yankees buddies that like I trust, like they watch like every game, they're like front runner fans. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I love, they call him JMO. I was starting to call him JMO.
I like JMO. So honestly, of all the things we've talked about, that him being able to call him JMO is like the number one reason I would be good.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. But at this point,
JMO. Yo, we got JMO on here all the night. Yeah,
I know.
I could do that. I could see myself there, JMO.
I know, but then I'm already thinking about the fraud Phillies fans who like just started paying attention to the World Series run and then being like, JMO, and like it'd be the new ill shirts, which I hate.
Yeah.
So that's
gone. I think that just it's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's not a bad point by you. Again, even more reason, we'll see. There might be a JMO emergency pod. There might not. We're not sure yet. But
it probably won't be 58 minutes if I had to guess.
Don't guess. You could bet on that. Either way, we'll be back if the Phillies make us be back. If not, we'll definitely be back next week. Any final thoughts, Ritzy?
Trey Turner's a Phil, buddy.
Trey Turner
is a Philly.
Oh, my God. This is... What a freaking couple months, man. What a couple months.
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad time to be you and I.
I'm really happy for us. I'm really happy for all of us. Everyone listening to this, I'm so happy for us. This is it's pretty cool.
We deserve it.
We deserve it. We'll be back. He's hurt himself.